This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
It's my honor now to introduce to you our commencement speaker for this occasion, Mrs. Trudy Kathy White. Is a native Georgian. She's the daughter of Jeanette and Truett Kathy, the founder of, and CEO of Chick-fil-A. She committed her life to serving others in the name of Jesus Christ. She's a mother of four and a grandmother of seven. Along with her husband, John, she has served on the mission field in Brazil. They served the cause of Christ, full-time missionary service for 20 years. And after those 20 years, she and her husband saw an opportunity to influence and challenge young people in the Christian faith. So they now serve in Georgia. Trudy and John are co-founders of Life Shape Foundation, which includes Impact 360, a gap year program located south of Atlanta. And about 25% of the graduates from Impact 360 end up going to school here at CIU. And I just noticed one of them as they were coming in graduates today. This morning, Impact 360 seeks to equip young adults to be Christ-centered servant leaders in order to prepare them for the challenges they'll face in life. Impact 360 has launched students from more than 19 states and several countries, and they're motivated not only to affect their college campuses for Christ, but also when they graduate to be a biblical, godly example of the Lord Jesus. Trudy continues to play an important role at Chick-fil-A, a family-run business, and speaks on behalf of the Kathy family whenever possible. She's the author of Along the Way, a collection of true life stories. In everything Trudy does, she is led by her commitment to obey God's leadership, nurture family relationships, and promote godly character in the next generation. So, please, would you welcome with me Mrs. Trudy Kathy White?
I grew up just south of Atlanta with two brothers, Dan and Bubba. They are both active in the Chick-fil-A family business. My dad is on stage with me here this morning. What an honor to be with you. My dad is 90 years old. My mom will be 89 next week, and mother is at home praying for this event, and she always has been a prayer warrior for our family. I know that dad's going to have a few minutes to speak to you, and I don't want to steal his thunder, but I did want to mention to you that that dad, wherever he goes, challenges young people with three M's, that those are the important decisions that you get to make in life, that you get to choose who your master is going to be for life, you get to choose what your mission will be for life, and you get to choose who your mate will be for life. And those decisions are powerfully important. I made an interesting decision when I was 19 years old. I had just finished my freshman year in college. I was home for the summer, and in a conversation with my dad, he mentioned that we did not have an operator for a Chick-fil-A store in Birmingham, and I told him I'd love to be the Chick-fil-A operator. And so he said, well, if you're going to do that, then you'll have to go through training just like our Chick-fil-A operators have to do. You'll need to postpone school for a little while and get your training that you need. And then you can't call me crying if you have problems just because you're my daughter. And you'll have to turn the store back in after 1 year because he wanted me to return to school and finish my education. That was my first paid job with Chick-fil-A, I could say. And what a year it was. But the most exciting part of that year was the fact that a fellow by the name of John came in and applied for a job to work at the store with me. He was a student over at Sanford. I had not met him before. And the more he worked in the store, the more attracted I was to him. And then I realized I kind of had a problem because he was meeting a lot of girls in his classes and hanging out with them. And I was very committed to the store, and I was very focused on that. I was at the store from opening to close 6 days a week. But then I had an interesting thought, and the thought was that I was his boss, and I was making out his work schedule. And I realized very quickly that he didn't have to be free on Friday nights to go out with other girls. So I made sure that he was working Friday night in the store as well as on Saturday night at the store. And then I just gradually increased his hours. And after a while, I think he finally caught on. And we had a wonderful opportunity to really get to know each other, because if you want to get to know somebody, work alongside them, and you really will get to know them. Well, the end of the story, you've already heard. John and I got married. We've been married now for 34 years. We do have 4 children and 7 grandchildren. God has put us in some very interesting places over in the past years of our life. We did have an opportunity to serve in Brazil. The biggest challenge there was learning to speak Portuguese and trying to learn it as adults. Now, we went with 2 children. They were 4 and 2, and our children caught on to the language quite quickly, as you can well imagine. In fact, I became very dependent on my daughter to help me with the language. She was only 4 years old, but she understood it much quicker than I did, and I depended on her to give me words. But one particular day, I asked her for a word to say to me, and she gave me a word, and I said it to the lady, and the lady acted confused. I asked again the word, and my daughter gave it to me. I repeated again, and the Brazilian still seemed a bit confused. And the third time I looked back at my daughter, she was laughing her head off. She knew that I would repeat anything she said. And she made a fool of me, and I was totally embarrassed. I grabbed her up. I took her home. I put her in her room. I went to my room, and I cried out before the Lord in a spirit of total frustration. And I said, God, why in the world would you take me from a country and a culture that I'm very comfortable in and put me in a place where I can't even communicate with the people? Lord, I don't know what you're about, but I cannot do this. And as soon as I verbally said those words, I didn't hear an audible response from the Lord, but certainly a tugging within my heart that I felt certainly was God's Spirit telling me, Trudy, this is exactly where I want you to be. At a point in your life where you think you cannot do something, then I can do it through you. That was a huge, huge lesson for me to learn, that as we go through life, oftentimes God gets us in situations where you feel completely inadequate. And yet God says, this is where I can step in and do what I want to do through you. Interestingly enough, later in life, God has asked me to step into a role of being a director of a camp. Now, what in the world am I doing directing camps? I went to camp as a young girl. I know what campers need, but about 8 years ago, our foundation came to me and said that we didn't have a director for the girls' camp, and she had resigned and gone on to teaching and asked if I would step into that role. And again, this was one of those things that was way out of my comfort zone, and I know that there are enough of you in this room that you know exactly what that feels like when you feel that God is asking you to do something that you believe really stretches you and that you really don't know how to do. And yet God says, I will be with you, and I will help you. And I'm so challenged by the way God works in our life in that way. So often we want to just stay with the things that are most comfortable to us, but more than not, he asked us to do things that are beyond our capabilities. My dad was 25 years old when he opened his first restaurant. That was back in 1946. It was a 24-hour operation. It's very interesting to think that through those years, he concentrated on taking care of his customers. When he was 43 years old is when the Chick-fil-A sandwich came into play, and Dad mixed all the seasonings together and put that sandwich together. I grew up in the kitchen of his restaurant. I remember having a dad who smelled like chicken all the time. I just thought that was the cologne he wore. I just thought, that's just my dad. And 3 years later after that, at age 47, we opened the very first Chick-fil-A store in Greenbrier Mall, and I had the privilege of standing there at the store line and hand out balloons to the customers. They came in, and I would say, welcome to Chick-fil-A, welcome to Chick-fil-A. And that's all I said, because my mom and dad threatened me. I couldn't say anything else. I was just a 9-year-old girl, so you can imagine. They said, you only say welcome to Chick-fil-A. I had a lot of other things I could have said. You might agree with me that we spend most of our time focusing on the things that are most important to us, whether it has been your studies, whether it is your family, whether it is your work, whether it is your hobbies, whether it is your relationship with the Lord, whatever is most important to you, that is where you put your focus. In the early 1980s, through Chick-fil-A, it was a time when the economy was much like it is today. Things were challenging. We had kind of overextended ourselves a little bit in Chick-fil-A, and we weren't really sure what the next years were going to look like for us. A group of our executive committee came together, and they began to ask the critical question, why are we really in business? Out of that discussion came our corporate purpose, that we are in business to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. It is so important when you ask that critical question, why do I do what I do? That all of us would say, why do I get up every morning and live the life that I live? What is my purpose? What is my focus? I want to leave you with a challenge today that are values that I have instilled in my life, but I have learned from my parents, values that God has taught me through his biblical principles, values that will be important for all of us to focus on, and particularly you as graduates to focus on in the years ahead. I put it to an acrostic because I know you don't have pen and paper in hand, and I'd love for you to be able to remember at least something from what you've heard today. And so the word that I've used is the word STAR, the letters S-T-A-R. And the first word is stewardship, that you would learn well to manage wisely what has been entrusted to you. That includes your time, your talents, your resources, your influence, and even your thoughts and your ideas. In 2 Corinthians, we're challenged to take captive every thought and make it obedient to God, to his will and to his ways. My own personal journey has taken me to a place where I've tried to learn to maximize the influence that God has given me. You've heard of our program, the Impact 360 program for our students, and that is important to us because we want these students to understand who God is and how to defend their faith and how they can make a difference in the world wherever God takes them to. I'll never forget a day that I was visiting with a family. If you don't mind, I'm just going to take this off because it keeps sliding, and I'm sure you're seeing it and I'm feeling it, so that's better. I remember the day I was in Brazil. I was visiting with another missionary colleague, and we were going out to a very poverty-stricken area. We walked in the home of a lady who had 5 children, and it was obvious from the moment that we walked into this little shack that her children were literally starving to death. Their hair was falling out. It had turned blonde from malnutrition. Their stomachs were bellowed out, and it was a sad, sad sight to see. I don't think I've ever seen poverty that close before. As we visited with this family, trying to give some encouragement and assess their needs, we began to leave. And in my mind, I was thinking, someday I need to come back and help this family. I got to figure out how I can maybe get some rice and beans to them, figure out what I can do. But as we walked out of that little shack, the missionary colleague that was with me noticed it was kind of a cool day, and she had a sweater on, and she took her sweater off, and she handed it to the mom, and she said, I want you to put this on because you need to stay well so you can care for your children. I was intrigued by the fact that she took what she had and she gave it to someone else right there. You see, there's this saying that you should always start where you are. You should use what you've got, and you could do what you can. That was a huge lesson for me to recognize the fact so often I walk right past people and their needs, and I don't steward well the very thing that God has given me that I might need to pass on to other people. That's S. The next letter is teamwork. The letter is T for teamwork. That we can do so much more with others than we can independently and in and of ourselves. Everybody likes to play for a winning team. Who are the players on your team of life? I heard this question mentioned about 5 or 6 months ago, and I've really pondered it a lot, and I felt it was very important for me to share this with you today because this is where I am today in my life, in asking myself, who are the team players around me that are playing on this game of life with me? Do I have a clarifier, the person that can help me clear away the stuff that sometimes I can become focused on that I don't need to become focused on? Do you have somebody on your team who is a challenger, who will ask the hard questions and hold you accountable to the things that you're committed to? Do you have somebody on your team of life that is creative, that'll add that color and that flair of fun that you need? Because some of us can become so work-driven, we forget it's important to have fun. Do you have a person on your team that is a connector, that is the person that can introduce you to key people in life? Do you have someone on your team that's a close friend, the person you can share life with and confide in the good times or the bad? Do you have someone on your team that's a counselor, someone who will speak wisdom and truth into your life, even though it might be hard? All of these are important team players as we journey through life. The next I would like to share with you is acts of excellence. The importance of doing what is right and always doing your best. Now, I've heard that all my life from my dad, and he has preached it all his life to the people who work for him. One of the reasons he does that, because he understands the importance of our relationship with our customers, that we must please our customers every time. We can't afford to make a mistake. They say that if you have a bad experience at a restaurant, you usually go and tell about 13 people about your bad experience. Now, we don't say that much about a good experience, but we can't afford to have a bad experience when our customers come into our store. So excellence is very, very important to us. When my dad was young, he was tongue-tied, and the best he could do with his name, Truett Cathy, was U-A-E. As he went in school, he never received a recognition. Dad, I apologize if you plan to share this, but the teacher sent him back to find a Bible verse. He gave that challenge out to the class, and Dad came back with a verse that his mom had helped him find, and it was selected as the verse of the week. And that was one of the big, most significant recognitions that my dad had received, and that verse was Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And because of that verse, it stuck with Dad, and through his life, it became his life verse, that he is focused on having a good name, and you have to work hard to have a good reputation. You have to be very, very proactive in it. But you earn a good name by acts of excellence, doing your very best, regardless of what it is. So there's stewardship, there's teamwork, there's acts of excellence, and then there's relationships. Treating others the way they want to be treated. In the Bible, we're challenged to that. The Bible challenges us to look out for the needs of others. Because of these truths, Chick-fil-A has no conflict between biblical principles and good business practice. They go hand in hand. The idea of being closed on Sunday is not a novel idea. It's actually in the Bible to take a day of rest, even though Dad didn't do it necessarily for biblical reasons. When he opened his restaurant, he actually was literally tired and needed to take a day off. But that's what the day is set aside for anyway, is to get rest. There are two things I will always remember about my dad. One is the consistency with which he has lived his life. It doesn't matter where you are with him. Whether you're sitting at the kitchen with him, whether you're riding in the car with him, whether you're flying on the corporate jet or you're sitting in a meeting with other CEOs, he is the same person anywhere. And as I've grown older, I've appreciated that more and more. A person who understands how to relate to others and be consistent in his life and his values. My dad has always told me, if you will help enough people get what they want out of life, you will eventually get what you want out of life. I'm going to repeat that because I think it's so important, and I'm really just starting to catch on to what that really means. If you will help enough other people get what they want out of life, you will eventually get what you want out of life. So when you engage in relationships with others, it's not about you and what they can do for you, but it's about what you can do for them to help them accomplish what they want to accomplish in life. There must be a strong commitment to your values. You must practice stewardship. You must understand teamwork. You must perform acts of excellence. And you must develop relationships in a spirit of caring for others. I want to remind you that our time here on earth and our energy, our intelligence, our opportunities, our relationships, our resources are all a gift from God that He has entrusted to our care to manage. So we never really own anything during our time here on earth. God just loans the earth to us while we're here. The world and all that is in it belongs to Him. Living in a country with so much success here in America, it becomes very imperative for all of us to keep in mind where our blessings have come from. And the Bible makes it very clear. Every good and perfect gift has come to you from above. If we suppose that for any moment that we are not blessed or rich, let me just remind you that by the world standards, everyone in this room is wealthier than more than 90% of the people in the world. The typical diet for most of the world today will be a single cup of rice. Much of what we consider to be absolute necessities, like an extra pair of shoes or a car or warm water, the rest of the world doesn't even consider it a possibility. We are truly blessed, and our blessings have come from the Lord. When we understand this truth, then we understand that our future is not dependent on our personal accomplishments, but rather it is dependent on God and His work. A few years ago, my dad was in D.C., and he was speaking before the Ethics Committee regarding how to be honest and successful in the business world. And his response was this: "There is no such thing as business ethics. There is only personal ethics. Businesses are not dishonest or selfish. People are. I believe no amount of school training or work experience can teach what is ultimately a matter of personal character. We must make sure that our schools are not misleading students to think of only the easiest way and the fastest way to make money or grow a business. I am not so committed to financial success that I am or will ever be willing to abandon my principles and my priorities. What is important to you in life? Where will you focus your energies, your time, your talents, your thoughts? It's important that you don't spend a lot of time trying to figure out what you're going to do in life as much as you spend time thinking about who you're going to become in life. I tell you, once you know who you're going to become, go do whatever you want to do, because you'll be useful wherever you are if you know who you want to become. We are to make a difference in this world. What matters is not the duration of our life, but it's the donation of it. It's not how long we live, but it's how we live. Become a star. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. The Old Testament says, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky. And those who lead people to righteousness, to a right relationship with the Lord, will shine like the stars forever. As you learn to focus on the important things of life, may you make the most of every opportunity God gives you in the days ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Trudy. That was very strong. Several wonderful biblical pearls of wisdom there. Three big decisions: your master, your mate, your mission in life, stewardship, teamwork, acts of excellence, relationships. And then I really like that it's not about us, it's about others. Let's see how many people we can help become the people God wants them to become. So, thank you, Trudy. Truett Cathy is the recipient of the Doctor of Humane Letters degree in recognition of his distinguished service as a Christian businessman and philanthropist. Truett Cathy, founder and chairman of Chick-fil-A, developed a small Atlanta diner, originally called the Dwarf House, into America's second largest quick-service chicken restaurant chain. The first Chick-fil-A restaurant was opened in 1967, and over the years, the chain has grown to 1,500 restaurants with over $3 billion in sales. Mr. Cathy and I remember eating my first one in Atlanta, Georgia. Mr. Cathy has prospered in the business through a strong work ethic, integrity in business practice, and a desire to live a Christ-honoring life. Beyond his business success, he's acted with a sense of obligation to the community and young people to develop the Wind-Shaped Foundation. The Wind-Shaped Foundation funds various programs to lead young people into an authentic relationship with Christ and to formulate a biblical worldview for their life. His Wind-Shaped Foundation, founded in 1984, grew from his desire to shape winners through scholarships and other youth support programs. Chick-fil-A's scholarship program has also given more than $27 million in scholarships to their employees since 1973. This year alone, they awarded over $1.5 million in scholarships. As part of Truett Cathy's Windshape program, 8 foster homes have been established in Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama. These homes provide long-term care for foster children in a positive family environment. The Windshape program offers 2-week residential summer camps for young people and their families to strengthen their Christian faith, character, and relationships. More than 10,000 campers from throughout the country and abroad attended Windshape camps in 2010. In addition to presiding over one of the most successful restaurant chains in America, Mr. Cathy is a dedicated husband, father, and grandfather. His two sons, Dan and Don, have both followed their father into the business. His daughter, Trudy, from whom we heard, serves as the girls' director with the Windshape camps. In 2006, Mr. Cathy welcomed the third generation of Cathy family members to the business. Truett Cathy and his wife, Jeanette, have 162 grandchildren. 150 of them are foster grandchildren. I'm not done. One of his grandchildren married one of our Ben Lippin graduates, and they're here honoring the grandfather today. And there are seven great-grandchildren. Mr. Cathy's received numerous awards and honors from his distinguished service as a Christian businessman and philanthropist. Among the recognition is the statement from former President Jimmy Carter. He said, "I hope that people will learn from Truett Cathy the virtues that have brought him remarkable success in life. He's dedicated himself to service in the broadest sense, following Christian principles not only in his personal life, but in his relationships with his customers and employees. Mr. Cathy has built a life and business based on hard work, humility, and biblical principles. Mr. Cathy has modeled godly business leadership and generous Christian service, which will be copied and followed for generations to come." Trudy, his daughter, mentioned this verse in her address to us. Proverbs 22:1 says, and this is a perfect description of his life, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." The Doctor of Humane Letters is awarded by Columbia International University to individuals who've distinguished themselves in Christian living and service. The faculty and the board of CIU are pleased to award this honorary doctorate to Dr. Truett Cathy. We're going to put a hood on you. It's going right over your head. Be real still. Congratulations. Do you want to make any comments? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Jones, and we appreciate this very, very much. I also have something here, I think, for you.
Yes, sir.
And this is a thing that we all need to remember. This is a words that made famous by Winston Churchill. When he got up to speak to a graduating class, he simply got up and said, "Never give up. Never give up. Never, never give up." And sat down. I'm not going to sit down right now. But I want to present this to you and keep it a reminder. I know we have a lot of discouraging times.
Yes, sir.
Actually, as a president. And so a reminder, never give up.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you very, very
Thank
much.
You. Yes,
Thank
sir.
You very much.
Well, thank you. It is a joy to be here with you today and honor me in such a fashion. And they say it's better to give than to receive, but receiving is good enough for me. And I appreciate this appreciation. I was brought up in the Deep Depression. We hear that remark oftentimes on evaluating economic conditions as to the Deep Depression. And I was born in the deep, deep, deep depression. It was a time that my life, I was born in 21, that if you write history, that the boll weevil attacked the cotton crop, and everything at that particular time was dependent on the sale and the production of cotton. My dad was in the real estate business at that time, and so nobody would buy real estate, and it was necessary to move to Atlanta to try to make a living. My mother became a breadwinner of the family. She opened a boarding house. She rented a house. She took in boarders. Young people say, what's a boarding house? Is that a condominium or apartment where you serve food, serve breakfast in bed? And I said, not exactly like that. But we took in boarders. We had normally 10, 12, 15 sometimes, and charged them, furnished a room, not a room, but a bed and a room, and two meals a day, and we charged them $7 a week. Now, that's how critical things were. Back then, you was rich if you had a job. I remember as a kid that the only thing I had to play with was a loose tooth. And that loose tooth wasn't mine, it was my brother's. I always looked forward to having a loose tooth because we'd work on it and put it in on the pillow, and the tooth fairy would come in sometime during the night. I always looked forward to it because I got a few pennies under the pillow. Not long ago, I had a tooth pulled myself. So I told my wife, I'm going to put it under the pillow and see if the tooth fairy is still living. And I put it down there, and lo and behold, the next morning I looked and I didn't hear a soul during the night. Guess what happened? I had a $5 bill. And I was told I could buy anything I wanted. But as I look back and refer, it's probably the best thing that could ever happen to me, have this experience, because it makes me to appreciate what I have today because of that experience. I feel being in the restaurant business is kind of a calling of serving people, meeting their physical needs and emotional needs, sometimes spiritual needs. I guess Jesus Christ is the most standout character in the Bible, where he tells many of pleasant experiences that he had around the dining table. So I do feel it's a real ministry that you have of meeting people need. I feel it's a calling, like you have a call to service in various areas. And so I feel like it's really, really ministering to young people that's employed by us, and also people that just, a lot of them go out to eat when they're not even hungry. They just look for a pleasant experience, and get to render that to our folks. We built on business of that was quoted here in Proverbs 22:1, that a good name is rather be chosen than great riches. A lady brought his little 4-year-old son and into my office. He said, tell Mr. Cathy your favorite Bible verse. He stood to attention. He said, Proverbs 22:1, that a good name is rather to be chosen than a lot of money. So it's true. Sometimes we're led to think that if I had enough money, I'd be happy. But happiness, it cannot be bought. It has to be earned. And a little boy of a Sunday school class, I've been teaching Sunday school for 52 years, 13-year-olds. And one of them said, Mr. Cathy, suppose you have a good reputation. I said, well, you have to re-earn it every day. And you can't buy it. You have to earn it, and you can spoil it by one misconduct. So you have to be careful. Instruction is what we say, the influence is what we do, but the image is what we are. Instruction, words of information, as well as words of encouragement. Do you know how you can tell when a person needs encouragement? If they're breathing, they need encouragement. Dr. Jones, I bet you need a lot of encouragement time and time. I get a lot of encouragement, but never have gotten an overdose of it. Instruction is what we say. The influence is what we do. We oftentimes have groups in this particular time come in our office, and there's a bunch of kindergarten group were there, and I said, what do you plan on doing when you grow up? And they said different things. They want to be a policeman, doctor, teacher, so on. But another one, the boy said, well, I want to be a zookeeper. Well, all the rest of them want to be zookeeper. I said, gee, I wish I'd have thought about that, been getting paid for playing with the animals. But then one little boy kept raising his hand, and I said, well, son, what do you want to be? And I said, he said, I want to be like you. Wow, that struck me emotionally. I picked the little fellow up in my arms. And that's, I said, it's the highest compliment that you could ever give me. So in a case like that, I got to be very careful what I say, but more particular, what I do. Instruction is what we say, the influence, what we do. But catch this, the image is what you are. God knows us as we are. We know ourselves as we are. And so when you consider the fact that Scripture says that all of us were created in the image, in the likeness of our Creator, our Heavenly Father, the King of Kings, that He put an awesome responsibility on all of us to be at our best at all times. The question for you as well as for myself, why not? Why not be at our best at all times? Why not? Why not? Thank you very much.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.